What an honor and a privilege to be here and to see what God's doing in your midst, and to hear about the new building and the things that I know that you guys are just going to grow and grow and grow. And I've had the privilege from, you know, knowing Pastor Sam when he was an evangelist, to the place right in downtown Elwood, and all the way to here, and then to see what God's going to do next. It's simply amazing, and God is very, very good. So I have a message for you today, and I want you to know it's not a refried message. It's not the message that I preached 2 weeks ago at my church. God put on my heart a message for, I believe, your church today in season. So before I get started, if you would just bow your heads and just pray with me for today's message. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the wonderful, the matchless, the glorious name of your Son, Jesus. Thanking you, Lord, for all you've done in my life and all you're doing all around the world. Father God, I just pray right now that through the preaching of your word, that lives would be changed. That those who are stuck would become unstuck. Doors that are shut would open wide. Those who are bound up would be set free, Lord. So I pray right now that you would open up hearts, that you would open up minds to receive your word, Lord, that you would anoint me, that you would fill me full of your Holy Spirit, that my spirit would decrease, that the Holy Spirit would increase, that the people of God would be edified, and that the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I come so that you might have life and life more abundant. How many of you here want to have an abundant life? And I believe that life of abundance, that life of fulfillment, that fulfilled life is built on the daily habits, the things we do each and every day, a little here, line upon line, precept upon precept, those things we do such as daily staying in God's word, daily staying in prayer, spending time with our families, taking care of our bodies, those things, those daily habits, We'll build a life of fulfillment with God beyond our wildest expectations. But I want to talk to you today about a habit that, when it's practiced, will, beyond a shadow of a doubt, change your life. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it's not complex. I'm not going to tell you anything that's going to blow your mind this morning. It's not going to cost you anything. But so often, we as Christians do not practice it, and that's having an attitude of gratitude. It's the power of living with a thankful heart. And I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful, first of all, simply because God woke me up this morning, because there was those that he did not wake up. And when he wakes me up every morning, and when he wakes you up, that's proof positive that God's not done with you yet, that he still has a plan, that he still has a purpose for you. And we serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ever think of or imagine. I'm thankful for my wife. We've been married over 20 years. And she's my best friend. She's my lover. She's my counselor. Sometimes even my critic. Amen. But, you know, we went to high school together. And she kept following me. I graduated high school. She followed me. I went down to Georgia. She followed me down there. I lived over in Germany. I moved to Europe. She followed me over there. Finally, I said, she's just going to keep following me. I may as well keep her. So she's been such a blessing in my life. And I'm thankful for my children who, for the first time, haven't came here with me. They've been to the church several times, and the reason that they're not able to be here with me is because they're both serving the Lord at New Hope at my church. My daughter's going to be 18 December 5th. She's a senior at Quaker Valley High School. She's already been accepted into Geneva College with a Founders Academic Scholarship. She loves the Lord. She's teaching Sunday school today for our little ones. We have around 50, 60 kids each and every Sunday, so teachers are always a problem, so she couldn't afford to miss. And we also have a boy that we adopted, Trey. We brought him in our family when he was 13 years old. He was just a kid that was coming to our youth group. And he was living in very deplorable conditions, and one day the cops came and raided his house, took his father to jail, and God opened a door for him to come and live with us. And today he's singing in the worship team, and he goes to Geneva. He's halfway through his first year, and not only in his biological family is he the first one in his family to graduate high school, but to go on to college, you know, pursuing a computer science degree, starting as a freshman on their football team. So I'm blessed. I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful right now to just be in another Four Square church, to be in a church that still believes in the power of God. I tell you, there's nothing worse than sitting in a dead church. I'll tell you, I'd rather hear my neighbor's dog bark at midnight than sit in a dead church. I'm so thankful that there's still a church that's in close proximity that still believes that Jesus is our Savior, that He's our healer, that He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and that He is our soon coming King. I have a lot to be thankful for this morning. And I want to say that I'm thankful for the man and woman of God. Come on, the Bible says that they're a gift. Could you give a round of applause to your pastor? And I can tell you that if you want your church to be blessed, I can't say this back at home because it seems self-serving, but I can tell you that if you want your church to be blessed, bless your pastor. See what you can take off of him. Encourage him. Make sure that he's taken care of. And I tell you, if you will bless the man of God, your church will be blessed beyond your wild expectations. And I want to tell you that he's been used here each and every week to speak words of encouragement and get a word from God that's changing people's lives. But he gave me a word that changed my life. Maybe it's one of the reasons why I was up here. And he's right. I was gonna say the same thing that you said earlier. Don't miss church. Don't miss church. Don't be like some of the people in my church that come every third week. I tell people all the time, it's like, I guess because Ambridge is an old mill town, everybody's used to working shifts. I have first shift, second shift, third shift. They come once every third week. If I had everybody together, I don't know if the building could hold it, but don't miss church, because it only takes one move, one word of God that can totally change the course of your life. I remember I've only been the member of one church. I got saved at the church that I'm at, and they just kept asking me to do stuff. So I got there and they said, hey, you know, can you help set up the chairs? And so I did that. You know, could you usher? Could you count the money? I couldn't believe that they were actually letting me count the money. I'm like, these guys really don't know me. I can't believe they're asking me to count all this money. So they were letting me count the money, and they would ask me, you know, could you do something with the kids? Could you help out with our kids' church? And so on and so forth. And we had a young couple that was pastoring the church, and they began asking me to do more and more stuff, but this time it was like stuff up front. You know, it was simple stuff like, you know, doing the announcements and maybe praying for the kids to go to their classes and stuff. But the more I was up there, the more I started feeling really uncomfortable with it. And I graduated from Ambridge High School, so that's my hometown. And God really has done a work in my life. But everybody knew me. I mean, it's one of those towns that everybody knows one another. So everybody knew my history. And, you know, I was a person who, got caught up in drugs and I was, associating with some of the biggest drug dealers in the Pittsburgh area, most of who are dead right now. And my wife can vouch for that. But I had a past history that I was somewhat ashamed of in church. Now, I know and I understand now, you know, going on with the Lord that, you know, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins, and it's not really about me, it's about what He's done, and that He was working in me and that He was changing in me. But each and every week that I would sit on that pulpit and look out at the people, I just felt dirty. I can't really describe how it was, but I think that Satan began planting seeds in my mind that if somebody came and seen me standing at the pulpit behind the church in Ambridge, they were going to say, you know what? I knew this place was phony, and that guy's a phony. How are you going to have that guy up at the pulpit? And that's what I felt, and I knew what God had done in my life, and I didn't want to turn anybody away from God by saying, and I know that wasn't right, but it's the way that I felt. Satan tries to kill stuff in its infancy. Before it's strong, before it grows legs, before it's a force, he will try to eliminate it. That's why abortion is so grievous to the heart of God, because that baby that gets aborted could be the next Billy Graham, could be the next Reinhard Bonnke. But Satan will try to kill it. And in the beginning of my ministry, when God was beginning to pull me and draw me and people were recognizing the call of God on my life, Satan began sowing those seeds of discouragement in me, seeds of self-doubt and insecurity. And we went to a men's getaway in Gettysburg, PA. And I had it on my heart that I wanted to tell the pastor, you know what, I'm with you, I'm on your side, I have your back, whatever you need me to do, you know, you need me to clean toilets, you need me to clean the church, shovel snow, count money, whatever you want me to do, I'll do, but I just don't want to be up front. I just don't want to be up front. I don't want to be talking. I don't want anybody to see me as an essential part of this church, because I feel like I'm going to turn people away. But I didn't want to discourage anybody else in the group from their walk. So I was trying to wait until I got the pastor by himself on this trip. And it just happened that I couldn't get him by himself. There was always somebody there around him. So we went to the, I don't know if it was the afternoon or the evening service. I'm not sure. I know they had you preach three of them that weekend. But I was sitting there and they did worship and Sam was preaching, and you know how he does. I mean, he was going off. I mean, he had his hands going. He was screaming. He was yelling. I mean, there was a lot going on. And we were sitting there and all of a sudden he stops. He pivots. He said, you know what? I got a word for somebody, and I can't get through this message until I give this word. There's over 200 men in this place. And he says, I need somebody named Rick. And the whole time, the Holy Spirit's in me saying, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming up there. I don't know, people are falling, there's stuff's happening, you know, and I'm cool sitting right here. There's got to be another Rick. There's 200 people here. I know there's another Rick, but guess what? Nobody else got up. God drew me, and I finally timidly raised my hand, got up, and he began speaking to me. And he said, God wants to tell you that you've been hesitant in your walk. And you've been hesitant in your walk because you're looking backwards and you're looking at yourself. God has already qualified you for the things that you are about to do. So quit looking at your past. Start looking at your future. Quit looking at yourself. Start looking at God and start moving forward. All those years later, I still remember that exact word, because it was what was going on inside of my spirit. I immediately went back to my hotel room, and in tears of repentance, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm sorry for holding back. I'm sorry for looking at my own strength and not looking at what you've done. And I promise from this day forward, any door that you open, I will walk through it. And I'm so thankful that God's been opening up doors ever since then. Sam talked about the church we have in Ambridge. We bought an old Catholic church. This place is huge. It's gigantic. It was falling apart. But you know what? By God's grace, with a church of people who really don't have any money, God is moving and God is repairing that building, because it's not about us. It's about what God is doing. We have a vibrant ministry. We have 50, 60 high school age kids come to the church each and every week for our youth group. We have a recovery ministry. We have a men's recovery home there. We have all kind of stuff happening in the church, and it's all glory to God, because one day I got a word, I was obedient to that word, and I haven't been pushing anything open. I just walk through the doors that God opens for me. I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. And I'll tell you that if we're not grateful to God, we're really no different than unbelievers. And the road to backsliding starts when we quit being grateful for what God has done in our life. Because whether you're a believer or even an unbeliever, God has blessed you with more than you even realize, and definitely more than you even deserve. If you have your Bibles with you, open up to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start right there, because I just want to show you something. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. The Word of God reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." Have you ever met somebody who thinks they're wise because they don't believe in God? They think that if you do believe in God, that you're uneducated, that you're primitive, and they think that they're somehow sophisticated because they don't believe in God. And the Bible says that those people are fools, because all they have to do is look at the glory and the majesty of the creation around them. Look at the sunset, look at the starry sky, look at a mountain range, look at the vastness of the ocean, the entire universe, and God holds it all together. And a fool, it would take a fool to believe that all that happened just by accident. The creation itself working in perfect order. Creation demands that there's a creator, just as if you've seen a painting, you might have not seen it being painted, you might not know the painter, but you know that there was a painter. If you see a building, you know there was a builder. If you see a creation, you know that there was a creator. And so they can see all this, but they don't give thanks to God. And there's a grace of God that comes on even the unbeliever. So when it's a nice day outside, when it's 75 and it's sunny, guess what? The believer and the unbeliever both feel that nice day, both feel that warm sun on their skin. They go to work and they earn money and they have possessions with the gifts and talents and skills that God gave to them. They play with their kids with the strength that God put in their bodies, even their children that they go to the little league games and the football games. God was the one that gave their children that life in their bodies. Yet they enjoy all these things, yet they don't give thanks to God. They're not grateful to God. So we as believers, we need to know how to rightly respond to the blessings of God. We need to know how to have an attitude of gratitude, how to have a thankful heart that gives thanks to God, that recognizes the goodness of God in our lives. And we're gonna look at a story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, of a group of people who were miraculously healed, miraculously blessed by God. Yet most of them responded in the wrong way, yet one responded in a right way. So we're going to look at the Word of God and see what it says about how we should respond to the blessings of God. Luke chapter 17, we're going to begin at verse 11. Verse 11 reads, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood far off." Now, if you were a leper, it was a horrible disease. I mean, you're talking about skin peeling off. Sometimes they would lose limbs. There was blindness. I mean, just the worst sort of disease that you can imagine. Very contagious. And they would be basically cast out from society. And they weren't allowed to come close. If somebody seen them far off, they had to holler out, "Unclean, unclean." And they would live in sort of leprous colonies, just basically waiting to die. They couldn't be in temple worship. They couldn't see their families. It was like they were dead men walking. And Jesus is walking along and he sees these 10 lepers that are far off, and they begin calling to him. They lift up their voices and they say, "Jesus, have mercy on us." They begin calling out to Jesus. Verse 14 says that when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. So this is a great example of the principle that Pastor Sam was talking about, that sometimes your obedience, basically you will pray and it won't so much be an answer to prayer, but God will tell you to do something. And as you go and do that, as you're obedient to what the word spoke to you, then you get your miracle. So when Jesus said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest," they weren't healed at that point. And the deal was is that if they did have somebody with leprosy who was healed, that he had to go present himself to the priest so that they could be inspected. There was a sacrifice that they had to do, and then he could be reintroduced back into society. And so he tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And in obedience, they begin walking towards the priest. And as they're walking towards the priest, the answer to obedience, they were cleansed. They were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. So 10 went out. On their way, they get healed. 9 of them keep walking. One of them, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe what the Lord has done for me. Glory to God. I'm going to go back and I'm going to go back to Jesus and I'm going to thank him and I'm going to give him praise." And he turns around with a loud voice. He glorified God. And it says that he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered him and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." 10 go and one comes back, kind of a tithe. I don't know if there's anything prophetic in that, but I know that even in our giving, when God has done so much for us, when he owns it all, how could you not tithe? Really, it's all his. He just asked us to give back 10%, but we see a situation where 10 are healed. These guys were dead if they weren't miraculously healed, and here they were healed. They just got their life back. So 9 take the blessings of God and just walk off, but one comes back. He's thankful and he gives glory to God. And I'll go on to say, it doesn't really say this in the text, but I believe that that was the only one who found salvation. The other ones just wanted the blessings of God. And I have lots of people in my church that you only see them when their life is a complete disaster and it's a complete mess. It's like they're running on with bare feet on hot sand on a beach, and every once in a while they come and they stick their feet in the cool water just to cool off, but then they run back and get on the hot sand again. I've had people come to church, they're bound up, they're addicted to drugs, they get set free, their families are all messed up. They begin coming to church. They begin hearing the word of God. They begin walking in the things of God. God heals their family. People that don't have jobs, that they're on welfare, they get off welfare. They begin to get blessed. And guess what? As soon as they get those blessings, they forget about God and get on with their life. Sometimes the greatest test of our faith in God is not going through trials, but when He blesses us. And if you forget to give Him thanks in those periods of blessing and you walk away with the Lord and you forget what got you those blessings, guess what? Those blessings can all be taken away from you. People want the blessings of God, but they don't want God. They want the blessings of Jesus, but they don't want Jesus. But Jesus wants your heart. He wants you. But He's a loving Father and He wants to bless you. But if you can't handle those blessings, well then He's going to have to take them away from you so that you might come to Him, because He's a jealous God. Only one came back. And you could tell that this bothered Jesus. These men all got healed. Yet only one came back and gave thanks to God. What kind are we? Because the reality of it is that we might not have leprosy, but before we knew God, we had the wrath of God on us. We were sinners. There was nothing we could do to get right with God. Yet He saved us, yet He blessed us, yet He died for us, and by faith we grabbed hold of that. So when you look at the lepers, when you look at their desperate condition, you got to see yourself that without Christ I'm nothing, without Christ I don't have anything, I wouldn't be anywhere. Because everything in this world is passing away, it's all going to burn one day. But the only thing that will last is those eternal things. Are you thankful to God for what He's brought you through? See, I guess it's easier for me because I know how far away from God I was. I was messed up from the chest up. I was tore up from the floor up. I was down, disgusted, couldn't be trusted. I was addicted. My marriage was on the rocks. I was a mess. So I know what God's done for me. And sometimes I think that the biggest problem you have is with a lot of people who live in white suburban America who think they got it all together. And they don't give God a second thought. And they think that they don't need God. But it's just like the church of Laodicea. You think you have everything, but you're naked and you're wretched. You don't have anything. If you don't have Christ, you don't have anything. Are you thankful this morning for what He's done in your life? And if we were to look at this story and kind of everything that I've talked about here this morning, what are we supposed to do with this? Because everybody's going to leave here, and Monday's on the way, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to kind of be floating on cloud nine coming from church full of the Holy Spirit. And then Monday morning, we're going to go to our jobs and we're going to go back. And this is my challenge to you. This is the application for you today. Each and every day when you wake up in the morning, before you do anything, spend about 10 minutes giving thanks to the Lord for everything that He's done for you in your life. Before you begin asking for stuff, before you go and grab the cup of coffee, before you start worrying about all the stuff that's going wrong in your life, stop and just think of all the things that you can be thankful for in your life. Spend about 10 minutes. If you got to get up 10 minutes earlier, get up 10 minutes earlier. And when you hit your knees, thank you, God, for everything that you that I have in my life. Thank you, Lord, that I woke up in my own bed, that I woke up in a warm house when it's cold outside. Thank you for my family and my closest friends. Thank you for the people that you've put in my life. Thank you for the car that's out in the driveway that I have. Thank you for my health. I'll tell you, it was just the other day that we have this guy goes to our church. His name is Robert. We call him Roby, and he doesn't have a car. He'd ride his bike all around town, but he's getting older now, and the man can barely walk, and I seen him. He went to the bottom of the hill, and he lives way up on top of the hill, and he was just with his bike, and he was trying to get up the hill, and he just couldn't. Just, it was dark. It was cold. I had my truck with me. I pulled up next to him. I said, "Hey, hop in, let me put your bike in the back," and I put it in the back, and I took him up the hill and helped walk him into the front door and set his bike. I drove home. I said, "Lord, thank you so much for my health. Thing I took for granted. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for everything that you've done for me." How often do we forget to be grateful? For one time, can we just not ask the Lord for stuff, but thank Him for everything that He's already given us? Just one time, can we just forget about the problems we have and the struggles and start giving Him praise for all the things that He's brought us through, all the things that He's already done in our life? Can we just give Him thanks? There was a book that was written a long time ago, and it had a story in there of a woman who was walking out into the woods, and she came across the field, and in this field she found a large barn. And in this barn was just filled to the ceiling with just seeds, all kind of different seeds. I can't believe it. Hello, God? All right, I'll tell him. Thanks. So God wanted me to tell you that, I had to pick up his call. But, so he was wandering around. He came to a barn. The barn was full of seeds. And he's looking in there. He's like, "What in the world are all these seeds?" And all of a sudden, Satan appears. And Satan says, "This is where I keep all my seeds of discouragement." And he went on to brag that how he takes these seeds and he sows them into the heart of man, and he began to brag that these seeds can grow in any type of soil. But then when he was pressed, he said, "But there is one type of soil that I can't get these seeds to grow in, and that's in the heart of a thankful woman or a thankful man." See, when you're grateful, you're rich. When you're grateful, you can't be fearful. When you're grateful, you can't be depressed. When you're grateful, you can't feel unloved. The only thing you can feel when you're grateful is that you're blessed. Could we just bow our heads? Heavenly Father, forgive us. Forgive us for the times where we've experienced those blessings in our life, the things that you've brought us through, and we didn't recognize you in that. We didn't recognize your hand in our life. And forgive us for those times that we did not give you thanks, that we did not give you the praise that you are worthy of, the praise that you deserve. And Lord, help us to have a grateful heart. Help us to not have bitterness. Help us to not look at our struggles. Help us to see your hand in everything. Help us to be a people of faith, a people of gratitude, Lord. We give you so much thanks, Lord, that you rescued us from that pit, that you set us upon a solid rock. Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. And my prayer for this church today, my prayer beyond anything else, is that they would know the love of Christ. That they would know who they are in Christ. That no one would feel like an orphan. That no one would feel far away from God. That no one would feel insecure like I once did. That they would not look at their own inadequacies, but they would look at your great power and your great strength, Lord. And I pray and I prophesy, Lord, that you will raise up a mighty army here from this congregation, that that building will be built, and that building will see many, many souls saved, that we will see this entire neighborhood, that we will see this entire region, that we will see it changed by the power of God. Regardless to what the world thinks, regardless to what it says on the news, there will be a move of God in these last days. For your word says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you will rise up a standard, Lord. So we thank you that you are rising up a standard of man who is sold out, who doesn't care about what happens to them, but they are living for your glory. They are living for your honor. They don't care what people think about them. They don't care how much pushback they get, Lord, but they are going to stand strong. They are going to stand firm in these last days, and they are going to proclaim your word, and they are going to proclaim you, that you are the way, that you are the truth, and that you are the life. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor Sam, I think at this time, we're going to give thanks for the greatest thing that has ever happened in the world's, in the world period. Christ on the cross. Amen.